As you may or may not know, Jim is not with us this morning because he has come down with COVID. He called me Friday and asked if I would be able to fill in, and I said, of course, but we're not going to continue in our series in Ephesians because he's already prepared that message, but we're going to do something a little different today. He tells us, or he tells me, that he feels like he has a nasty cold and that that's not as severe as some others. But he wants everyone to know that he didn't want to be here this morning to share his COVID with us. And that makes perfect sense. Nevertheless, he wants us to enjoy his 25th anniversary today at Washington Avenue and take advantage of some great fellowship at the picnic this afternoon. He wants us to know that he'll miss us, but he will celebrate that anniversary at a better time. And it's my privilege then to preach today in Jim's absence as he deals with his COVID. It seems appropriate to me. We didn't do this in the first two services, but this is the 25th anniversary of Pastor Jim being the pastor of this church. And I think it's appropriate for us to have a word of prayer of gratitude and prayer for the future. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for our shepherd, Jim, and for his wife, Holly. Lord, we're a little concerned about the COVID, but it's not serious according to him, and already he seems to be getting better. But we thank you for these 25 years of service, for this celebration that we're going to have this afternoon at this picnic, and we'll continue to rejoice for days and weeks ahead. And Lord, we just commit him to you and to your hands to have him continue to do whatever it is that he wants to do and that you want him to do through this ministry here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want us to look at two verses that aren't very often used, and we'll come to them in just a moment and put them up on the screen. But for many years, there have been some great lines, jingles, so to speak, and simple songs advertising things. Two of my favorites I remember growing up include, "My dog's bigger than your dog." Are you familiar with that? I don't even have a dog, so my two cats are smaller than your dog. And then the other one that I always remember back, I think, in junior high, "Anything you can do, I can do better." Now, that's a problem with regard to what we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about boasting or bragging, as we also use the term, is something with which we are all familiar. And this idea of boasting is something that God talks about. And I want us to look at the passage today in Jeremiah, where God speaks through Jeremiah and says, "This is what the Lord says." And this is applicable to us today, even though we're not living in that time. "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness." Bragging is something, or boasting is something, that we're all familiar with. We know about it because we observe it in others. We hear people brag about their kids, their yard, their vacation, even their dog. And the truth is, often when we hear others boasting, if it's an inappropriate boasting, it kind of turns us off. And the reason it turns us off is because boasting and boastfulness is really a problem of pride, an expression of prideful. I think a person can be proud without boasting. Think about that. But I'm not sure if someone can be boasting and at the same time not be proud. As we look at these two verses from the Old Testament and prophet Jeremiah, I want us to give some consideration to this idea of boasting. And while we recognize boasting in others, I'm not sure we always recognize it in ourselves. And sometimes we realize later that we were there. And as we're going to see, there are times and occasions when boasting actually is appropriate and is good. Let's consider first some common avenues of inappropriate boasting. In verse 23 through Jeremiah, God lists three things not to boast about: wisdom, strength, and riches. Now, apparently at that time, there were three common sources of pride and boasting with the people of Judah, God's people to whom Jeremiah was preaching. And he called him out on overstating this idea of wisdom and strength and riches. This passage, these verses were written hundreds of years ago. But what God says through Jeremiah sounds pretty up to date and relevant to me, to our own day, doesn't it to you? Throughout history, humankind has been tempted to overstate the importance of wisdom and strength and wealth. And note in God's instruction here through Jeremiah, those who are boasting have what it is they're boasting about. God tells the wise man, God tells the strong man, and God tells the rich man not to boast of their wisdom, strength, or riches. But I've been thinking about this, you know, Jeremiah doesn't mention it, or God doesn't mention it, but women can boast also, can't they? And sometimes I think we've observed some boasting. Sometimes people boast with no legitimate basis upon which to boast. I like the comment that a wife made to her husband who really thought he was smart, and angered at something while shopping in a store, he said, I'm tempted to give that clerk a piece of my mind. And as they walked out calmly, she said, please don't, you can't afford it. That wasn't me. And when people boast about things that are not even true in their lives, it is at the same time both humorous and sad. And I think we've been around people who inappropriately boast, and they're nothing to boast about. And we're stretched to know, are we going to laugh at them, or are we going to be sad for them thinking that it's that important? But this instruction from God through Jeremiah in today's text is to those who actually have what it is that they're boasting about. But even if you have it, you're not to boast about it. Not wisdom, not strength, and not riches. These three things that are listed in verse 23 do not exhaust all that which we might be tempted in our lives to boast about. I want to suggest some related avenues to each of these three notes, each of these three things that Jeremiah notes. Wisdom, first, suggests related avenues of education and experience. We're hoping that through education and experience, we gain some wisdom. Unfortunately, some people fail to gain wisdom through their experience and their experiences, and they don't grow in wisdom. Our own time and culture has strongly emphasized the importance of education. Education in our school systems, private schools, junior colleges, and some of the great universities. Some people fail to gain wisdom through their experience and their experiences. And we hope and pray as parents that our children will gain wisdom. And if you're a parent, one of the most important ways that they can gain wisdom is through you. I think we all would agree that education is important, wouldn't we? Even those who do the homeschooling are knowing and saying that education is important. But education by itself is not the panacea for all the problems that we face. And those who have a lot of education should not overboast about their education. Nor should those with much experience boast about all they have accomplished in their lives, because as I said before, that turns a lot of people off and it comes across in a way that is not what we would want to be patting them on the back for. Now, don't misunderstand. Experience is valuable. That is important. And a lot of us know that, don't we? Because of our jobs and the different things we've been doing. We have learned so much and gained so much wisdom just from experience. It contributes to our education and our wisdom, and it often helps us in getting a job, but it should not be an avenue of boasting, because that probably won't be too well received at the job. Now, strength, that Jeremiah also mentions on behalf of God there, suggests related avenues of beauty and skill. We might not think of that, but that's about the human body. Strength concerns the physical, as does also beauty and skill. Bragging about one's beauty is often more subtle than some of these other avenues of boasting. And sometimes we can look at someone and they don't have to say anything, and we can gather that there's a possibility that they are boasting about their good looks. Not too long ago, I was officiating a wedding ceremony, and after the ceremony was over, I asked my wife, Jan, do you think the groom looked better than me? She replied, no, but when I asked about the bride, she said to me, hey, don't push it. Some of you may want to speak to her. If bragging about one's beauty is sometimes more subtle, bragging about one's skills are perhaps less subtle, because we can see their skills. No matter how talented or skilled we might be, we need to guard against overly bragging and boasting about what God has given to us. When it comes to family, parents often are tempted to boast about the accomplishments of their children. We've all done it, haven't we? And while that's not always bad, if it's done in the right way, bragging about one's offspring can be taken too far. Rather than bragging and boasting, parents do much for their children by supporting and encouraging them in so many things that they do in so many ways. Children need, I want to say to parents today, children need the benefit of affirmation and encouragement with whatever it is they're trying to learn and grow in and become what God has called them to be. Now, to wrap up this first part of what we're talking about, I want to ask a question. If you have it and you're not supposed to boast about it, then what are you to do? Please don't answer, because I've got the one answer here. The answer is to thank God. Isn't it? You know, we who are children of God and followers of Jesus, part of His family, we are people who need to be grateful for God's blessings, whatever they are, however wild they are, and express that gratitude to Him. I think for children, sometimes that one of the most important things about saying grace, if we're going to say grace before we eat our food, is letting our kids know that we're thanking God for what He's given us. And when they accomplish something or when something happens, that's when we encourage them and pat them on the back and stroke them, and they begin to become more and more what they are called to be by God. If you have any of these blessings we've mentioned, wisdom, Don't raise your hand. Education, experience, strength, good looks. Oh, no, just kidding. That was a misprint. Skill, riches, great kids, or a privileged family background. Don't boast about it. Thank and praise God for it regularly and from the heart. Being grateful brings us to this matter of boasting about the Lord that Jeremiah writes about here. And let's think a little bit about what may be some wrong boasting about the Lord. Obviously, not all pride and boasting is bad. We take pride in some things if it's appropriate, and it's not bad. But there is a legitimate pride in boasting, and I think we can work on that as long as we don't overdo it with our friends and neighbors and so forth, and especially with regard to our kids. To Jeremiah, God says, if you're going to boast, boast about me. Now think about that. God says, if you're going to boast, then go ahead and boast. But boast about me. Thanking and praising God for what he have leads us into boasting about him. But before we do what I call good boasting about the Lord, let's focus for a moment on wrong boasting about the Lord. I think we all know that a person can boast about the Lord and still be drawing attention to self. They may be trying to cover that they're trying to boast about God, but we often can read through their problem with pride. And that's the problem, the basic problem with boasting. Unfortunately, it is generally about exalting oneself. God says through Jeremiah, let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. I think we all have seen how this instruction can be taken to the extreme where someone would think that they understand everything about God and know everything about God, and that's never going to happen. But we grow in our understanding of God, and we get to know God better as we live as his child and as his follower and as his servant and doing the things that he's called us to do. When God tells us to boast that we understand and know him, he does not mean that we should boast as though we completely and perfectly understand and know him. That's not what God is suggesting through Jeremiah, but I bet we've all heard people who think that they completely and perfectly understand God. And it just isn't true, and I don't think we can call them down, but we can be careful. I love the story of a little boy who was intently drawing a picture in his Sunday school class, and finally, the teacher walked over to him and asked, Johnny, what are you drawing? And he paused for a minute, put his pencil down and replied, said, a picture of God. She said, Johnny, that's silly. Nobody knows what God looks like. And without looking up from the easel, he declared, well, when I'm finished here, they will. I'd encourage that kid. I'd say, you don't really know what God looks like, but boy, you love God, don't you? Unfortunately, some Christians come across like this little boy as though we really understand and know God better than we really do, and that doesn't help us with regard to our service or our life or our reaching out and touching other people with the love of God. I've always been a little comfortable with the standard professional degree for pastors, you know, in these graduate schools and seminaries and so place, the last degree that you get when you get out of the divinity school is called a Master of Divinity. And I think that sounds a little presumptuous, doesn't it? Mine is hidden away at home, my Master of Divinity. Who in the world can possibly master divinity? Nobody. But we can continue to submit to divinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and boast about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and live to the glory of our Heavenly Father, our Savior, Son, and our indwelling Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons I like to return again and again. We're in Jeremiah. I'm going to pick out two verses from the second largest prophet in the Old Testament. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God is speaking here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When God tells us to boast that we understand and know him, he does not mean that we completely understand and know him, or that we should try and fake it as though we do. We are still in progress, aren't we? And we will be in progress until God calls us home. He is not telling us that we should boast because we know better than other Christians. Have you ever been around that? Is there anything worse than two Christians arguing about God? I know more God than you. We got to be careful about that. I'm personally very uncomfortable with Bible teachers and pastors and believers who come across as though they think they know everything and everybody else knows virtually nothing. I read about a Christian who came to a man about to jump off the Golden State Bridge up near San Francisco to commit suicide. Concerned, this guy saw him getting out of the car. He slammed on the brakes, jumped out of his car, and called out, "Sir, don't jump. The Lord loves you. Do you believe in God?" And the despondent man responded, "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Really?" this other guy said. "So am I. What church do you go to?" He said, "I'm a Baptist." "Really?" The guy said, "So am I. Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" He said, "I'm a Southern Baptist." "So am I." He said, "Are you a conservative or a moderate?" And this guy, getting ready to jump off the bridge, said, "I'm a conservative." And the other guy said, "Well, so am I. When it comes to eschatology, are you amillennial or premillennial?" And he said, "Oh, I'm a premillennialist." "So am I," this guy said. "Are you contemporary worship or traditional worship?" The guy said, "We're traditional worshipers." "So am I," he said. "Do you read the King James or the New International Version?" The guy said, "I read the New International Version. Then there was a slight pause, and the would-be helper said, "I thought from the beginning you were a heretic." Thank you. Thank you very much. We need to guard against having a wrong attitude of boasting over the top about understanding and knowing the Lord. We should have these conversations where we say, "Well, this is what I think, this is what this verse thinks," but not trying to one-up everybody, letting them think that we think we know everything there is to know about God. Now, I want to conclude with some thoughts on right boasting here about the Lord. I think in this whole matter of boasting, the question to ask in determining it is it appropriate or not, is who gets the credit? And I think we've already suggested that. If in our boasting we are exalted and glorified, the boasting is probably out of place, wouldn't you think? But if in our boasting God is lifted and praised, God is honored and worshiped, then that seems to me to be a right kind of boasting. And even when we gather and sing our hymns in here together, we're honoring God. We're boasting, as it were, about his goodness. Simply stated, worshiping God is boasting and directing other people to who he is and how great and how wonderful he is. Let's look again at what Jeremiah said, if we can get it back up there as we come to the end of this. This is what the Lord says. This is directly from heaven. "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or their strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches." And of course, God would add quite a bit to this if we had time. "But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness. Our boasting in the Lord means that we understand and know Him as the God of grace through His Son and our Savior, Jesus, but it doesn't mean that we know everything. It means that we know in ourselves, on our own, we are inadequate and unable without the Lord, but that in and through the Lord, we are forgiven and saved. And for that is something we should boast about the Lord. It means that we realize as children of our Father in heaven that we are really something. And we're really something not because of who we are. We're really something because of who our Father and who our Savior and who the Holy Spirit is. Can a Christian boast? Clearly, Jeremiah rejected the worldly boasting of the wise men, the rich, and the powerful. And there's only one basis for boasting, and that is to boast in knowing the Lord. Yes, we can boast. Even this might sound like pretentious pride, but in the context of God's grace, it is not a boasting in oneself, but in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul, without in any way condoning pride, quotes Jeremiah and encourages the Christian to boast in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, Paul says, "Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." We need to be aware of how we come across to others. But I think we need to follow what Paul's following from Jeremiah, that our lives should be filled with honoring and worshiping and even boasting about our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We love You more than we really can show sometimes, and sometimes we don't act as though we love You, but we do. And more importantly than that, we know that You love us. You have blessed us in so many ways, just to be a part of Your family, to have our sins forgiven, to be a part of who You are, and that we might be used of You. Help us to be wise, Father, with regard to this matter of boasting, that we give You the honor, that we give You the credit, and that when it's appropriate, that we as Your children can boast about You. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah. Let's all stand. Thank you for being here today. I did have limited time for preparing, but I thought we had some good things to talk about. I want to remind you about the picnic today and the weather, and make sure you get a chance to tell Jim congratulations and so forth. But I'm not even going to risk trying to have a closing song. I'm just going to say, Jeremiah was not a bullfrog.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace. We're thrilled that you have chosen to spend a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. And if this is your first time, or if you have been viewing us for just a couple of weeks, would you do us a favor and text the word welcome to the number at the bottom of your screen, and we would love to get in touch with you. Now, if you need prayer or have any kind of concerns, you can text pray to that exact same number that's on your screen. And maybe you made the decision today to follow Jesus. We are so, so excited about that, and we would love to celebrate that with you. So go ahead and text BELIEVE to that number, and somebody will be in touch with you to celebrate and to help you find your next steps. soon. We're just real people experiencing real grace here at Washington Avenue Christian Church, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.